Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos Daf Mem Aleph. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, three lines from the top. Now that we've discussed from the beginning of our perek the din of a Shavua Daraisa, because we've learned that Moed of a Mixus, if somebody makes a partial admission, that's called a Shavua Daraisa. We've discussed, yes, at the end of the previous shiur, the Halacha of a Shavuos Heses, where somebody is approached and says, you owe me money, and there's a total denial, which under those circumstances, midaraisa, there is no chiyuv shvua, because there's no partial admission. But Chazal established, as we discussed, a shvuas heses, that you still have to make a shvua anyway. So the Gemara wants to know, what are the practical nafkaminis, my ikka, ben shvua daraisa le shvua darabonim? What are the practical nafkaminis between these two types of shuas? The Rishonim discuss, as we have discussed in our shiurim, that the halachas of Nikitas Chefetz, that when you make a shvua daraisa, you have to hold on to Sefer Torah, you have to hold on to tefillin. And Rashi suggests that that would be one more of the differences between a shvua daraisa and a shvua darabanan, that by a shvua daraisa, Nikitas Chefetz is required, whereas by Shvua Derabanan, Nikitas Chefetz would not be required. Tosfos seems to disagree, and Tosfos' opinion is that the fact, particularly, that our Gemara didn't indicate that difference is a proof that that both by Shvua Daraisa and by Shvua Derabanan, Nikitas Chefetz is required. So what is the difference? Says the Gemara, Ikka Menayim Mepech Shvua. The halacha will be that if the person against whom the claim is made refuses to make a shvua, can we turn it around and put that obligation on the person who's making the claim? In other words, will we normally, the way a shvua works is that the person who has to make the shvua makes the shvua and he's absolved from having to have to pay. What happens if this person instead of me making the shvua, you who are making the claim against me, make the shvua, and by you making the shvua, you'll be able to collect. Says the Gemara, but the raisa loy mavchin and shvua. When it comes to a shvua deraisa, we don't do so. Whereas by shvua derabanan, if the person supposed to make the shvua wants to turn things around, the halacha is that we may do so. And as machlokes rishonim, what does that mean? In our Gemara, does that mean that we never turn it around? And it's always the toiveya, it's always the nitva, the person to whom the claim is being made, obligation to make the shvua? Or does it mean if both parties are agreeable that the toiveya should make the shvua, then the toiveya can make the shvua? The Torah quotes Rav Shmuel ben Chofni that the halach is that even if both parties are willing to turn around the obligation of the shvua, we can't reverse the obligation. But the Rif says that if both parties are agreeable, then that would be acceptable. And the Tor says that makes more sense. If both parties are agreeable, The Beis Yosef quotes this opinion of Rabbeinu Shmuel Chofni, and he also says that he doesn't see that why he should be right. And if both parties are agreeable to turn around the shvua, then the halacha is that the shvua may be turned around. However, the Prisha seems to say that no, even if both parties are agreeable to switch sides, then the halacha is we should still not switch it. And he says that the reason is, once Chazal made this rule that it's the nitva, in this case, who makes the shvua, we may not turn it around. We may not turn things around. Moreover, he says, somebody who will see that the nitva is the one that's swearing will not realize that the tevei is the one that's swearing, will not realize that this is happening because both parties agree to this, but rather they'll think that this is what the halacha requires. And in order to avoid that type of a situation, Chazal said that only the nitva should swear, not even if both parties are willing, only the nitva should swear, not the teveya. So, ikmenayu, says the Gemara again, mepech shvua. B'deraisa lo mechinen shvua, it remains the obligation of the nitva to swear, but the rabbanim mafchinim. And the Ran explains why is there a difference between shvua deraisa to shvua esses. Because he explained by shvua deraisa, the chiv is on the teveya to pay. There's a chiv to pay the teveya. The only thing is he could get away with making a shvua, and therefore, since he has an obligation to pay, then he's going to have to. The only thing that could to save him from having to have to pay the nitva, the only thing that could save the nitva from having to have to pay is a shvua. Until he makes the shvua, he can't not pay. Whereas by shvua the rabbanon midaraisa, as we've been learning, he really doesn't have to pay. It's a new chiv that was established that he should have to pay. And since it's only a new chiv that he has to pay, it's not a chiv deraisa, so there the shvua can be turned around. Ask the Gemara, or ma baravashi d'omid deraisa nami mavchin in shvua, that even by a shvua deraisa, the table could be turned, and the tevei will swear, not the nitva, so my ikabein deraisa derabonon, so what will be the nafkin between a shvua deraisa and a shvua derabonon? Answers the Gemara, Ikemenayu, Michala Nechsei. Can we, if the Nitva refuses to swear, can we extract payment from him? The Raisa, by Shvua, the Raisa, Nechsein and Nechsei, you refuse to pay, you refuse to make Yeshua, so then you're going to have to pay. Whereas by Shvua, the Rabbanon, if he refuses to pay, Loi Nechsein and Nechsei, we won't force him to pay. Says the Gemara, Ul Rabbi Yossi, the Omar. The Rabbanan Nami Nechsel Nechsei, but ask the Gemara Koint Rabbi Yossi, who his opinion is that even by Shvua the Rabbanan, if the person refuses to make the Shvua, then we force him to pay. The Tanan, the Mishnah Sakhta Gitten Daf Nun Tessa Menalev teaches us, but see, if a Cheres Shoyt of a Cotton found something, so truthfully, they don't have the legal ability to make a Kinyan. And therefore, what they pick up really doesn't become to them. Yeshbim Shem Gezel, if somebody takes something that belongs to them, so takes something like this that they picked up, it's still considered Gezel, the Rabbanon, and they Dark Shalom. Chazal wanted to have a society where people live with a certain sense of order. Rabbi Yossi Emer Gezel Gomer, Rabbi Yossi says it's Gezel Gomer, says the Gemara, Vam Rav Chizda, says Rav Chizda, what did Rabbi Yossi mean? That it's gozel gomel devrayim. Rabbi Yossi can't hold, says the Gemara, that it's gezel madaraisa. At the end of the day, a cheres shoyt of a cotton don't have the ability to make a kinyan. So he says it's only gezel madarabonon, but he gives it a new category. He calls it gezel gomel madavrayim. So ask the Gemara, the main nafkamina. So they both opinions agree that it's gezel madarabonon. What is the nafkamina between these opinions? Leitzia b'derabbanan. According to Rabbanan, leitzia b'deyonim. According to Rabbanan, which it's only gezel because of Dark Yisholim, so it's only lechatchila, you shouldn't take it away. But if somebody took something that the Cheres Shoyt of a Cotton picked up, his bezdin will not extract it from him. But according to Rabbi Yossi, it's such a degree of gezel that if somebody will take this item away from the Cheres Shoyt of a Cotton, Bezdin will take it away. So we see from here that even when something is only a Derabbanan, Bezdin will take strong steps. So if that's the case, in the same in our Gemara, if this person is refusing to swear, it's Gezel Gomer Derabbanan, and because it's Gezel Gomer Derabbanan, Bezdin will take the money from the person who refused to make the Shvuos Hesses. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we're back to where we started. My Ikabein Deraisa Derabbanan, what will be the difference between a Shvua Deraisa and a Shvua Derabbanan? Says the Gemara, Ikabeinayu in a case, Shekenegdoi Choshar al Shvua. in a case with a nitva is a person that has, that we don't trust, that he has a track record of lying by shvuas. But the deraisa, when you speak about shvua deraisa, should connect the chashad of shvua. If the nitva can't swear, we turn around the shvua and we say that the teveya will swear and collect what he claims is owed to him. However, when we deal with a shvua derabbanan, the kantihi, the whole concept here is only a takana derabbanan, and since it's only a takana derabbanan, the kanta loy takanta loy avdinan, Chazal won't make such a rule that if he can't swear, we turn it around, and he becomes absolved without any shvua. So asks the Beis Yosef, in the name of the Smag, that we began the shiur today, that by Shvua Rabbanon, there's an opinion that says you could turn it around. Why is that not considered Takanta Takanta? So he says, very simple. Here, we're not giving anybody choices. In that Gemara, it was a situation where he was given the option, and he asked that the other party should swear. That isn't considered Takanta Takanta. Says the Gemara, well, Rabbanon the Pligalei Rabbi Yossi. According to the Rabbanon that disagree with Rabbi Yossi by the Mishnah that we just quoted, a Metzirus Cher Shoyt V'Kotten. Dama with Rabbanon Noi Nechsin El Nachsei, that when we have a situation against the Rabbanon, Bezin don't get involved to take away the assets from him, Mayav Dinalei. So now we have a problem. We're speaking about a case where the person, the Nitva, is supposed to make a Shvua, but because of past history, he can't make the shvua. So we're saying that by Drabonon, we don't tell the Tavei to make the shvua. So why are we not here at an impasse? The Nitva won't make the shvua. The Tavei is not told to make a shvua. So how will this get resolved? Says the Gemara, Misham Tinalei. He can't make a shvua, but we put him at the Chayrim. Amalei Ravina Ravashi, hi. It's like holding on to somebody in a most delicate spot. In other words, what's happening is that this person will remain in Chayrim indefinitely because he can't make a shvua. We don't ask the other party to make a shvua. And how will this get resolved? Ella, says the Gemara, Mayav Dinalei, what is done in such a situation? Amalei, Mishim Tinan Lei Adiz Matiz Man Nagde. We put him to Chayris until the time of the Chayrim expires, which is typically 30 days. And then, Nagdinalei, we give him Malkus, Veshefkinalei, and then we take away the Chayrim. Omer Papa, Hayman de Afik Shtar al Chavrei. If somebody presented a document to the Loiva that you owe me money, Vomle, and the Loiva's response is Shtar Peruhu, that this is a Shtar that I already paid up. So halacha is we tell the loiva that, and of course the Rishonim point out, as we often discuss in Shas, that this shtar that's being presented is a shtar mekuyim. It was a certified shtar. So, but still the loiva is saying, I paid up this debt already. Amrina lei, so says the Gemara, we tell the loiva, lav kol kiminach. You don't have the halachic right to make this claim. Zil shalom. And he says, and the halach is, you have to pay up this obligation. However, im omar l'shtabali, if the loiva says at this point that the malva should swear that indeed I still owe the money, amninale, we tell the malva that shtabale swear on this behalf. That, however, the Rishonim say that there is an example where the malva won't have to pay. If the malva is smart and the malva adds a clause to the shtar, that should the loiva ever say that, make this type of a claim, that he will not have to swear, he'll be exempt from swearing, that as long as the loiva is able to present the shtar, the halacha will be that the malva will not have to swear. If that clause appears in the shtar, then he can't make him swear. Says the Gemara, according to this, in a case where somebody agree that he admits that part of the obligation was paid. So the Mishnah we're going to learn in Daf Mem Hey teaches us that if the Malva presents a shtar, and as the Malva presents a shtar, he says that I paid off part of the shtar, then that I got paid part of the shtar, he's going to have to swear on the rest. But now we're learning that even if he doesn't make that claim, even if he claims that I got nothing, he's still going to have to swear. So what's the nafkamina? Amalei, hasm avgav deloy ton iu, says the Gemara, the nafkamina is as follows. In the case where the malva says that I got paid partially, even though the loiva is not making a demand that there be a shvua, tanin le anan, we bezdin require a shvua. Hacha, whereas in our case, amninale, where the malva presents a shtar, and there's no claim that there was partial payment on the shtar. Amninale, and the loiva says, I paid. So the halach is amninale, we bezdin tell the loiva zil shlamle, pay. Eton, and he says, however, if the loiva on his own comes up and says, Oma, and he says to the malva shtabli, I need you to swear before you want me to pay. Amrinale, if this comes up from the loiv himself, Amrinale, so then we say zil shlamle. Says the Gemara, v'tzubim rabbananhu. But let's say the malva is a tamut chacham, and the loiv is demanding a shvua. Loiv mashbinale, we won't make the tamut chacham malva have to swear. Says the Gemara, amale. Rav Yemuel, Rav Ashi, Tzumar Abonan, Mishal Gid Limida Amshi. Is a Talmud Chacham allowed to act this way? Is a Talmud Chacham allowed to take money that he doesn't deserve? And why should, and therefore the Gemara's question is, why should the Halacha of a Talmud Chacham be different than the Halacha of anyone else? Says the Gemara, what we do is, Lam Mistakin Alei Ladine. We don't get involved. We just don't do anything. We don't make him swear. But presumably, we don't make him pay either. So ask all the Rishonim, so what have we accomplished with what we're saying here? It turns out that Talmud Chacham is going to lose out. We won't make a shvua. We won't make him make a shvua. But on the other hand, we won't let him get paid. So the Rosh explains that what the Gemara says, what the Gemara means to say is that if a Talmud Chacham will be typhus, he'll seize what's owed to him, we'll let him keep it. And another point that he says is that what the Gemara means to say is that we as Bezdin, given that the Malva is a Talmud Chacham, will not demand of the Malva to make a shvua. But if he doesn't make a shvua, indeed he will not get paid. But if he makes a shvua, then he deserves to get paid. There's a Machlokes Rishonim. However, regarding the first teretz that the Rosh offered. The Rosh said that if he's a Talmud Chacham and he seizes what's owed to him, we'll let him keep what's owed to him. There is a Machlokes Rishonim. Is this halacha only applicable to a Talmud Chacham? Or does Tfisa work by every individual where a Malva says and presents a shtar that you owe me money and he refused to swear, as our Gemara just taught us, can he do tfisa? The Baal Trumas has a different question. It says, our Gemara focused on a situation where the Malva is a Talmud Chacham and the Loiva is presumably not a Talmud Chacham. What would be the Halacha, discusses the Baal Trumas, where both the Malva and the Loiva are Talmud Chachamim? The Torah says that if both the Malva and the Loiva Talmid Chachamim, then we do make the Malva Talmud Chacham swear. And the Beis Yosef explains, because why have we exempted the Talmud Chacham from swearing? Because it's a zilzal, it's a lack of respect to make the Talmud Chacham swear on a claim that a Loiva who's an Amoritz made. But if the Loiva is a Talmud Chacham, then it's not considered a situation of a zilzal to make the Talmud Chacham swear, and therefore in such case the Talmud Chacham will swear. We learned in the Mishnah, when somebody said, Manali biyotcha, somebody approached, a Malva approached the Loiva and says, you owe me money. And he says, yes. And the next day, the Malva turns to the Loiva and says to him, pay me the money you owe me. And he says, Nasatu lach, I've paid you, potter. Then he's exempt. But if what he says is, Ein lecha biyadi, I never owed you money, chayiv. The next case we learned, if he said to him, Manali biyadcha, again, he says to him, you owe me money. And the loiva says, Amalei hein, yes, I owe you money. But then he said, the malva said to the loiva, Al tetnili ela be'edim, pay me back only in front of Edom. And the machar, and the next day he says, give me the money you said you owe me. And he said, Nesatav loch, I already gave it to you, chayiv. Because there are no Edom that he could present per the stipulation that it, what they testify that he paid him back. Says the Gemara, Amar Yudah Amaravasi, Hamavas chaveri be'edim, if you lend money to person in front of Edom, Tzarech lefrar be'edim, you have to have Edom there when you pay back. And therefore, if the loiva says, I paid back without Edom, he won't be believed. Says the Gemara, Kamrita kameid Shmuel, however, when I said this halacha in front of Shmuel, Amalei yachal laimalei, praticha b'filei pleni, pleni, I did already pay you back in front of these Edom. And where are they? V'halachlem, Medina Sayyam. They went off to Medina Sayyam, and that's why I can't pay you back. I don't have Edom here. They're not here for me to bring them. The Rashba explains the widers of Ashi hold, that Rav Asi hold, that Amalva is Chaver Be'edom, Tzarek Lefara Be'edom, because it's implied that just like I lent you the money in front of Edom, it's understood that I want to get paid back in front of Edom. The Ran explains that if somebody only lends money to somebody else in front of Edom, it's a raya that this malva has concerns about this loiva. Otherwise, why would he have demanded that he get paid? Why would he lent the money in front of Edom, only in front of Edom? Since we see that the malva is concerned about this loiva, that's why it's understood that Tzarech Lefara Be'edom. Ask the Gemara what Rav Asi said. We learned in our Mishnah where somebody says, Manali biyotcha. Vamalai, the malva says to Laiva, you owe me money. Vamalai, and the Laiva agrees, hein, yes, I owe money. And Lamacha Amalai, Tanaili. The next day, the malva says to the Laiva, give me the money you agreed you owed me. And he says, Nesativ loch potter. Ask the Gemara, Vahacha, in this case, Kivin the Tava be'edim, where he demanded that there should be Edom, commanders Oisri be'edim dami. In this case, since the malva asked for the money in front of Edom, and the loiva admitted in front of the Edom that he's chayiv, it should be considered as if he lent them the money in front of Edom. And our Mishnah says potter, but according to because he doesn't have to pay in front of Edom. And Rav Asi says that you do have to. And the way the Rishonim approached this Gemara Duran, that the Gemara is learning now that not only is if there were Edom at the time of the halva, does the halacha require that if you lent money with Edom, you have to pay back in front of Edom? But the time of admission that you owe the money is also equivalent to the time of halva. And therefore, if Rav Asi says if there were Edom at the time of the halva, you have to pay back in front of Edom, so too will be the halacha if there are Edom at the time of the admission, to which the Gemara responds, Amalach, Rav Asi is going to tell you, Ana ki amri hech de mekara oisiv edim. I only said my halacha when the actual loan took place in front of Edom. The loyal of the day hemne. The fact that he went out of his way to have Edom at the time of Alva is, as we explained a moment ago, a proof that the malva has problems with the loiva. And since the malva has problems with the loiva has to pay back in front of Edom. Hacha, where the loan took place without Edom, hahemne, the fact is that he trusts him, because the proof is that he doesn't have Edom here, that he didn't have Edom at the time of the loan, and therefore, even though there were Edom at the time of the admission, it wouldn't make him be obligated to have Edom at the time of payment. However, says the Rashba, a very important issue. Here we're saying that if the loiva says, I paid you back in front if I paid you back in front of Edim, then the halacha is that will be sufficient. Says the Rashba, because, and the Edim are not here, they went overseas. Says the Rashba that he has to be able to identify the names of the Edim. That's one point he says. Just saying I paid you in front of the Edim without being able to identify the names is inadequate. The other point that the Rashba makes is only if he says that the Edim went overseas. Because by saying that the Edim went overseas, then there's a possibility they're going to come back and he's going to be able to confront them. The Malva will be able to confront them. Did you or did you not pay back? But in a case where he says that the Edim passed away, and therefore there will never be an option of recourse to those Edim, it would be inadequate. Duran disagrees. He says that in our Gemara, even if the loiva is not identified, does not identify the Edim names, he will still be okay. And the Shach takes the approach in Chayshim Mishpat Siman Ayin Sifkaton Yud Gimel that if we see that the loiva is not saying the names of the Edim, because simply he forgot their names, he wasn't really paying attention that much to their names, then we will believe the loiva. But if we see that the loiva is trying to act in a manner that he's just trying to get out of presenting Edim, who he claims exist, then he won't be Neman. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Masni Hachi. Rabbi Yosef has a different version of the Machloikus between Rav Asi and Shmuel. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rav Asi, Hamavos Chaver Be'edim, Ain't Tzarech Lefar Be'edim. If there were Edim at the time of the loan, we don't have to have Edim at the time of the payment. Vim Omar, however, if the Malva made it clear with a stipulation, Al Tifreini El Be'edim, we said clearly you have to have Edim, Tzarech Lefar Be'edim, then you have to have Edim at the time of the loan, at the time of the payment. Kamrita Kamedi Shmuel Amar Li Yachalem Le Peretich Befnei Plani Plani. He could always say, I paid you back in front of the Edim, Behochalem Adinu Sayom. And they went away. And the Rashba explains what is the Machloikis. That Shmuel holds that even though the Malva made this stipulation, he could say, that doesn't take away the namonis that the loiva has, that he could say, I paid you back in front of the Edim. Because there's a chazaka that a person who makes, that the loiva who says this is saying the truth. Whereas the opinion of Rav Asi is that if there was a clear stipulation that this is what's required, it becomes the loiva's obligation to fulfill that stipulation in a completely transparent fashion. And if there's no, if there's anything missing in that fulfillment of the stipulation, then the halacha is that he's not Neman. Tanan asked the Gemara, we learned in our Mishnah where somebody said to somebody else, the Malva says to the Loiva, Mani li yotcha, you owe me money. Amalai hein, and the Loiva says yes. Amalai, and where the Malva then says to him, El tatnei li el b'fnei edim, make sure to pay me back in front of Edim. And the next day the Malva says to the Loiva, Taneuli, give me the money that you owe me. And he says, Nasati Lach, that I already paid you back, Chayiv. Then he has to pay back. So isn't this Tiyufta de Shmuel? Isn't this a question on Shmuel that even in a case where there was a stipulation that there have to be Edim at the time of the repayment, the Loiva could always say, I paid you back in front of the Edim. Amlach Shmuel. Shmuel says Tanoihi. This question is actually a Machlokes Tanoim. The Tananya, the Brisa says, where somebody says, Be'edim Milvisicha, I lent you the money in front of Edim, and Be'edim Parali, and you have to pay me back in front of Edim. And then the Loiva says that I paid you back. I paid you back. He won't be Neman or Yitain, or he should pay back again, according to him, according to what he holds, or according to what he, the Loiva, is saying, or Yavi Raya Shanosan, or he has to bring a Raya that he paid back. Just making the claim that he paid back is insufficient. So our Gemara now is assuming that the Malva's claim that I lent you the money in front of Edom. You must pay me back in front of Edom. Was a stipulation that was made at the time of the loan. And yet we see that Rabbi Yehuda says that you could still, the loiver could still say, I paid you back. So that's exactly what Shmuel says, that even though when there was such a stipulation, the loiver could always say, I paid you back. Says the Gemara, Paruch Rav Acha. Rav Acha says, this isn't a proof to Shmuel's opinion. Because who says, my deshas alvoy koi? Who says that this price is referring to a situation that this stipulation was made at the time of the loan? Maybe this stipulation was only made at the time where there was a claim to pay. And as we said early in the shir, that there's a difference when the stipulation was made. Was the stipulation made at the time of the loan versus was the stipulation made at the time to claim a payment? And what the Malva is saying, I lent you the money in front of Edom, and therefore when you claim now to me that you pay me back, shouldn't have you had Edom present to pay me back? But if at the time of the loan there was a stipulation made by the Malva, pay me back only in front of Edom, there the halacha will be, and now the Leiva says that I did, but they're not here, it could be that everybody will agree that he's chayiv, and therefore that will be a question against Shmuel. Amra Papa Mishmei the Rava Hilchasa. The halach is Hamavas Chaveri BeEdim Tzarach Lefar BeEdim. That if the loan was done in front of Edom, the repayment has to be done in front of Edom. Papa Mishmei the Rava Hamavas Chaveri BeEdim Ain't Tzarach Lefar BeEdim. If there was no clear stipulation, however, in Amar, if the Malva was very clear in saying Al Tefri Eini El BeEdim, you should only pay me back in front of Edom. Tzarach Lefar BeEdim. He has to pay him in front of Edom. Vim Omar, but if the loiva says that Piratich Mefnei Pliny Pliny, that if he makes that claim, but he says, I did pay back in front of Edom. And the halach is, however, that the Edom went off to Medina Sayyam, the halach is that Neman, that he will be Neman. The Rishonim debate, if the Malva makes this stipulation, not if the time of the loan, as we've been discussing in our shir, and the Loiva, now it's not the time of the loan, so it's very different. At the time of the loan, when the Malva is lending the money to the Loiva, he says to the Loiva, if you want me to lend you money, this is the condition that you have to agree to. You have to agree that you will pay me back in front of Edom. But let's say it's the case that we are discussing, where it's not at the time of the loan, but later on the Malva comes up with the stipulation that you have to pay me back in front of Edom. And the loiver was not agreeable. What will that stipulation be binding? The Ran says that the halach is that the loiver has no say in this. And even if the loiver is not satisfied and says this wasn't something under which condition I borrow the money, since it's the Malva has the right to make such stipulation. The Ramban says that the halach is that if the loiva doesn't say anything, the stipulation becomes binding. But if the loiva protests, then the stipulation is not binding. The Rosh's opinion is that whether it's the time of the alva, even at the time of the alva, or at the time of payment, the loiva has to agree. And if the loiva doesn't agree, then at the time of the loan, the malva has a right to say, so I won't lend you the money. If it's not the time of the loan, then he can't make that a binding stipulation, only with the agreement of the loiva. And it seems that not only when he says the agreement to loiva means that the loiva has to actively say, I agree. Because otherwise the loiva could say, I didn't borrow the money on these terms, and you can't change the terms after the act of borrowing took place. Simon Ruvim and Shimon, the Tana Hilchasa, Yosu Yapara Plenty Plenty, Aftsi Sitra Beminosik Betray. The Gemara begins a series of Halach Lamaisa questions. Hudam Al Khavri, there was somebody said to somebody else, Kipratinu, when you pay me back the obligation, I want it only to be paid back in front of Reuven and Shimon. And says the Gemara, instead of paying it back in front of Reuven and Shimon, also, he went and paid him back in front of two other people. Amar Abaya, Bapi betray Alma. So Abaya says the Malva wanted that the loan should be paid back in front of two people, and that's what happened. Bapi betray Pari. He fulfilled his obligation that he should pay back in front of Edom. So explains the Ritva, what does Abaya mean to say? So Ritva explains that what Abaya means to say is that he didn't mean to stipulate that I specifically only want Reuven and Shimon. What I want you to pay me back in front of Edom. And since I want you to pay me back in front of Edom, and Reuven and Shimon are people who are easily found and identifiable as Edom. But it doesn't mean it has to be specifically Reuven and Shimon. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rava, V'achi Kamalei Bapi Reuven and Shimon. Says, no, the reason the Malva said Reuven and Shimon is Ke'ech de Le'nitche. I don't want, what he meant to say was, I specifically want Reuven and Shimon and no one else. So we have a Machlok Sabai and Rav in this case. Next case, Huda Amalei Chavrei. There was somebody who said to his friend, Kiparily, when you pay me back, apparently trade the take to Edom. He didn't identify names which to Edom, but he said they have to be Tamand Chachamim. Ozo Pare ben delay la delay. And he paid him back without Edom. It's Nisu Hanach Suzi. Then something happened to this money. The money got lost. Ozo Kamei to Rav Nachman. And now the Malva comes to Rav Nachman. Vomalei, and he says to Rav Nachman, in, yes, kibuli kibaltimene, I received the money, but the money was that I took, I didn't take it as a payment of the loan, I took it derech pikadon. I took it that I was asked to hold on to the money, for many, and I said to myself, lahava gabai kadon, that this money is being held by me for safekeeping, until we'll find two individuals who are Talmid Chachamim, and then Mekayim Tamai, and then the Loiva will have fulfilled the stipulation that I paid to pay back the money in front of Talmid Chachamim. Amalei, so Rav Nachman said to the Malva, Kivin the Kamoides the Vada Shekel Tamineh, since you are certainly agreeing that you receive the money, so therefore the Halacha turns it into Beroi Ma'ayin Rava. When somebody is giving back money that is owed, we can't make it into a bikadon. Yamit lekayumet tonight, but now you're saying to the loiva that we had a stipulation that you have to pay back in front of Edom. So he says, if you want that to be fulfilled, the way to fulfill it, zilai sinai, bring the money. The ha'ano rav sheshet to tanina. Here we have myself, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes, who are Talmid Chachamim, who are Tanina Hilchos v'Sifro v'Sifri Tosefta Kol Talmuda. And if you're looking for the fulfillment of the Tanai, that's how we'll fulfill it. But otherwise, since you admit that he gave you the money, you don't have a claim to him for the money. Ha'ud Amalei L'Chavrei, another story. Havli Meizuz D'Zavticha. Give me the 100 zuz that I lent you. Amalei Ha'ud Var Ma'olam. And there was no such a story. Also, Isis Adidas Vepare. So then the Malva went and brought Edom that the Loiva did borrow money, but they also said that they paid him back. Amar by Main Navid. So now we have Edom that he borrowed the money, but we also have Edom that he paid back the money. In Amri Isra, these Edom are saying that he borrowed the money, but they're also saying, in Amri Pari, they're also saying that they were paid back. Rava Amar, so says Rava that the loiva were, and therefore he should be, the loiva should be absolved from paying. But Rava says, Kolay Maloy Levisi, once the loiva said they didn't borrow money, it implied in saying Loy Levisi is also Loy Parati Dami, it's implied that he didn't pay back, because you don't pay back money that you don't own. And therefore, even though there are Edom that he supposedly did pay back, those Edom are discounted. Hudav Chavri, Havle Mezuzadim Saknabach. Please give me the $100 you owe me. Amalei loy paratich v'fnei plenty of plenty. Says, didn't I pay you back? Not only did I pay you back in front of those Edom. also plenty. So they brought those to Edom. Amalai hayu dvar ma'ilam. It just never happened. Savra sheshes lameima. Huchsa kafrin. It's a proof that this person's a liar. He said that these two Edom are the witnesses that I paid back. And we have these two Edom that say that we don't know of any such story. Isn't that a proof that he's saying something which is not true? Says the Gemara Amalai Rava, to which Rava says, Komas Ramulay the Inish, something that a person doesn't have to remember, Lavadate. And there's Machloikis, Rashi, and Rabbeinu Chananel, who does that mean? Rashi says that speaking about the Loiva. Since the Loiva was not obligated to pay back in front of Edom, so when he says that these were the Edom, he wasn't really paying that much attention who are and who aren't the Edom, because he wasn't obligated to pay back at all in front of the Edom. And therefore, the fact that he said it and it turns out to be inaccurate doesn't make a difference. Rabbeinu Chananel says that we're talking about the Edom. The Edom aren't required, they're not critical members, and therefore the fact that they say they don't remember doesn't mean that the Loiva is saying that the Edom are saying that the Edom really know what they're talking about. The Gemara in Masechta Bava Basra talks about a situation where Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef tried to collect a debt for Rav Abba. Rav Abba said, I already paid you back in the presence of these Edom. Rav Yitzchak Nafkin Paskin, that even though Rav Abba was not obligated to have Edom, but once he said that there were Edom, he is obligated to produce the Edom, and if he can't, the halach is that he's going to have to pay again. So ask the Rif, here we just learned in our Gemara that we said, Milsa the Loiramnele the Nishlavadate. And the fact that the Edom didn't substantiate his claim doesn't make a difference. And there the Gemara says it does. How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So Taisa says that Rav Yitzchak Nafka asked Rav Abba to produce Edom because he wanted to clarify the matter to the best of his ability. That won't have any claim. It was only to take away a chiyuv shvua. Others say it depends how the question was asked. If the question was asked in a way where it's not that obligatory to have Edom, so the fact that you don't have Edom doesn't make a difference. If it was said in a much stronger fashion, then there's a difference. And the Balamar gives a similar teretz. The Balamar says we have to look at the situation. If it's a situation where the Loiva says, I designated Edom. In a case where the Loiva claims that he designated Edom, therefore he has to produce those Edom. But in a case where the Loiva did not say that he designated Edom, he just says there happens to have, and that's the Gemara Masechta Basra. And if you can't produce those Edom, you'll have to pay. But in a case where he didn't say, I designated Edom, he says there just happened to have been Edom, then the halach is that if you can't produce the Edom, we'll say, Milsa de la Ramya Lynch, Lava Date.